You have your Bibles. Let's go to the New Testament epistle of the Ephesians, Paul's epistle to the Ephesian church, chapter 3. Amen. Believing the Lord has something for all of us as we begin and get ready to begin our new year. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. We'll pick it up in verse 16. Paul is speaking to this church, and if you read the epistle, Paul's epistle to the Ephesian church, you'll find that he's endorsing their position in Christ. He's letting that church know the goodness and the riches of Christ that are available to all believers through the cross, through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And he was wanting that church and that people to know who they are in Christ, what Christ has done for them, won for them, and how they were to approach daily living, knowing that Jesus Christ has provided on the cross all things they will ever need pertaining unto life and godliness. Amen? And so Paul here, in his prayer for this church, he picks it up in verse 16, speaking to that church, but to us also today. He said that God, or that he would grant you, in verse 16, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And if I could just for a few moments, I'm going to choose our title out of verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. This morning's message, exceedingly abundantly above. Exceeding abundantly above. God has good things for his children. He has good things for you. And the challenge that I feel the Lord is laying on my heart as we finish up this year and as we enter a new year in a few short days, God wants to do for you and for me and for the body of Christ and whosoever will, he wants to do for you this year exceeding abundantly above anything you could ask or think. Amen. My friend, we serve a big God. And a big God can be asked of big things. Amen. And this year, I just want to encourage every one of us this morning, let this be a year of believing God for the greater things, the bigger things, the abundant things. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go before him in prayer this morning. Father, again, as we humbly come before your throne through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful that we have your heart and your audience this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that we could stand before you with clean hearts and hands through the blood of your Son. Lord, we have been made perfect in Jesus Christ by simple faith in the perfect one. And Lord, this morning, move by your Spirit. Quicken us, strengthen us. Help us to understand and perceive what you have done for us on the cross, that we may have a prosperous life, a blessed life, and abundant life in Jesus Christ. Give the children's church their portion this morning. Be with all of our hearts and help us to believe. Help us to have faith. Help us to look to you and trust you. And everybody said this morning, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. The other night as we had gathered at a family event on Liz's side of the family, one thing they do in their family is that before all the gifts are open, they have a time of personal testimony. In other words, before we proceed with the events of the evening, everybody's got to give a testimony of what's going on in their life or the goodness of God or share a scripture, whatever it be. Well, when it came to my turn, you know, pondering what to share with the family, you know, I was just really rehearsing how the goodness of God has been extended into my life this year in a way that I've seen greater than other years before this year. Now listen, I've been in Jesus 30 years. I've known Christ for 30 some years. And I've seen the good and the bad and the ugly. But you know what? God has brought us through it all. And there was just something about this year, amen, that God has done so exceeding abundantly above that all I could ask or think. And Elizabeth would agree with me. God has been extending grace and mercy in a way that I have never seen in all my Christian experience. Amen. You say, why did it take 30 years? I don't think it's that it takes 30 years to really see the full goodness of God. If you're saved, my God, you have the living God in your heart. You have salvation, my Lord. That's a great thing. And don't get me wrong, we've seen good things throughout the years in God's good hand. But learning the message of the cross, learning from experience, what it is Christ has done for us, and on a daily basis, learning to believe Him, learning to rest in Him, learning to trust in His righteousness, His goodness, what He can do for us, not what we can do in ourselves, not what we can do to make ourselves more holy and pure before His eyes. Friend, give it up. Our righteousness, as Isaiah said, are as filthy rags. You and I are to accept what's already been done 2,000 years ago by simple faith. And if you think that's easy, friend, you will enter the fight of your life to believe that truth. Because the powers of hell and darkness and life and all the events of life will assail the believer's life from time to time. And friend, it's going to be a fight of believing the good news on a daily basis. Amen. But as we've been fighting that fight and believing God, I just began to share a little something about, you know, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, how that he said that we should believe for exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. It tells me the heart of God is such that God wants to do for all of us, for His children. He wants to do for every one of us so much more than we can even comprehend. Amen? I think of what Paul said in the Corinthian church, chapter 2. He quotes an Old Testament scripture, and really it's about the new covenant in the grace of God. But beyond that, it is about the good things that God has for His children. In fact, Paul would say it this way, it has not yet entered into the heart of man the good things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Amen? And think about that this morning. I have seen that. I have understood in a minute way that God has brought things to pass in our lives, things we never dreamed of, things we never thought about, things we never conceived on our own. Amen. And this is where the true Christian life is a life of adventure. It's not just show up in church, put in your time, go home, live your life, and God's out there somewhere. Yeah, throw a prayer or two up at Him. Throw $3-4, you know, every so often in the offering plate. My God, there's much more than that. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I need grace to keep preaching this morning because my voice is really struggling here. But the truth is the truth. You know, God wants to do so much more, and there are things in this coming year that if you walk with Him, hand in hand with Jesus Christ, if you love Him and adore Him and look to Calvary, what He did for you at the cross, He will give you and open doors of opportunity, things you've never thought of, opportunities you've never dreamed of, if you will believe God this year as never before. Amen? Because God's plan for you is a good plan. It is a good plan. I don't care if we're young, I don't care if we're ancient. God has a good plan for His children. Amen. And so we testified to the goodness of God that night. And about, you know, we as believers got to learn to believe God for greater and bigger things. Amen. And maybe we have not because we're not asking. Maybe we're not seeing what we could see because we're not asking the Lord. Do you realize that God put a condition on prayer? He can't answer a prayer that's never offered. Amen. Amen. You know, it's called unbelieving believers in the modern church. We talk about being believers. Oh, I'm a believer. But as a believer, am I talking to God? Am I asking God? Am I depending on Him? Am I looking to Him and calling on His name for the greater things that He has for all of us? Amen. And I just praise Him for what He's already done in our life. This church is a miracle of God. The building we're in is a miracle of God. Amen. I always tell people we're a little church in a big building, you know. And Calvary Baptist, they built their new edifice across town, and they've made an arrangement with us. Do you realize in 9 years we've been here, we got $200,000 paid off this building. with a few people. Amen. You know, God has been good to us. Amazing. We just got the mail the other day, and somebody sent a $500 love offering to Promised Land Church. Somebody lives in another state. My Lord. Hallelujah. That blesses us that we can pay the rent one more month. Amen. You know, the point being, when you believe God, He'll do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. And it's been our heart all year long. Like last year, we preached that message 3 months and the Lord blessed. And we were challenging all of us in this body to believe God this year as never before. And you know what began to happen? God is my witness. Brother Doug, he's the church secretary treasurer. He knows what comes in. And within 3 months, the offerings to Promised Land Church, and it's not a money gospel, but I'm just showing you the practical side of how God blesses. As you were starting to believe God, as some of you were starting to get the message of the cross, as some of you were beginning to walk in the grace of the gospel, you began to see the Lord start to turn some things around for you. Some things God was starting to promote and make business opportunities for some of you. Some of you, you received a better situation on the job you're on. Because all I know is that the offerings tripled in about 3 months. For about 2-3 months, it was running pretty steady. I don't know what's happened to you since, but just kidding. You got to keep believing Him. He wants you blessed spiritually first. He wants your soul to prosper in Him. But if you'll do that and prosper and believe Him, the natural will follow. Because God is a good God. God don't want us in poverty, spiritually and even materially. Amen. And friend, as we've been trying to all year long preach faith, having faith in Christ, faith in the gospel, faith in Him, walking close to Jesus, loving Christ, loving God through Jesus Christ, keeping your gospel straight and pure and right, believing what was won for you on Calvary's cross is a personal work for you. And as you believe that, things began to change in your life. Some of you began to find a greater peace in your heart. Some of you began to get some victory over some flesh habits that weren't pleasing to you and to the Lord. Some of you began to see some changes in your heart and in your family and in your life. And I'm here to say that, listen, now that the thing's moving a little bit, let's keep her moving. Let's keep going the right way. Let's keep believing Jesus Christ. Let's keep trusting Him. Let's believe the blood still has its power. Amen. Amen. And so, folks, this is where I feel God is trying to bring His church, that we don't be unbelieving believers, but that we be believing believers. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we shared that little testimony, and you know, I just felt the Lord, and that God was just trying to inspire us to keep trusting and keep believing and keep asking. Amen. And I want to challenge all of your hearts today. I don't know where you're all at personally with the Lord, you know, but my heart is that you draw nearer to Him, because God said if you draw near to Him, He said He'd draw near to you. Amen? Amen. We brought this up the other week, but it's the old cliche, the wife riding alongside of the husband. I shared this 2 weeks ago or a week, whatever it was. But, you know, it's the same picture story. The wife of 30 years, you know, driving down the road with her husband, you know. She says, honey, remember when we dated, how we used to sit so close together in the car, and, you know, we just were so in love. And, you know, the husband looks over to her and he says, well, honey, I'm driving a car. He said, I haven't moved. You're the one that moved away from me. And sometimes that's the way it is spiritually. God says, come near to me and I'll come near to you. You show me that you want me. You show me that you desire me. And I'll command angels. I'll part the Red Sea again to get to you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, because He's a good God and He loves you and He loves me. Amen. Hallelujah. If we look in the 47th chapter of Ezekiel, I was pondering all this as I was the Lord dealing with my heart what to share this morning. We see a picture of what we call Ezekiel's river. There's a river that, according to the description in that chapter, it's a river of God that flows from the threshold of the sanctuary, really comes out from under the throne. And really what it is, it's a picture of the millennial river that will literally flow from the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ out of Jerusalem in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ when he returns to this earth. It's a natural picture or a picture story of a literal river that will be here. In fact, the Bible calls it the river of God. Even the Psalms bring out about the river of God. David talks about it. He said it's the river of God. It's teeming with life. The river of God, the streams whereof make glad, the city of God. There's a river that flows. And that natural river that Ezekiel was telling about now flows in the spiritual. There's a river that is flowing, and it flows with the grace of God. And if you read that chapter, you'll find out that that river, even though it starts from God's throne as a little trickle over the threshold, every 1,000 cubits or so that river would flow, that river is self-multiplying. In other words, rivers aren't starting from, how can I say, from a big body of water flowing out. It starts from the throne of God. And it flows out, and as it flows, it becomes more and more and more. In fact, the Bible says it gets so deep that it's a water that cannot be passed over. It's waters to swim in. And the beauty of this river, it goes down into the Dead Sea. Do you realize in the literal Dead Sea right now that there's no fish in that sea? Nothing can live in it? They tell us, and it's a true fact, in the Red Sea, if you go there, you can't sink. It is so briny, so full of salt, you can't submerge yourself in it. You can't sink. So those of you who don't know how to swim, that might be a good place to start. You don't have to worry about sinking. Amen. Amen. But think about it. The Bible teaches that when that river that flows in the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ hits that dead, briny ocean, dead, briny sea, that everything will be healed in there, and there will be an abundance of fish. And the Bible talks about where that river flows. On each side of the river, there will be a special tree. And it'll be the leaves of that tree. I say this carefully. I don't know if you like salad or not. But in the new kingdom, the new millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the natural people will partake of these leaves off this tree. And it will have a nutrient in that tree that the human body will regenerate itself continually, and it will never grow old and die. That is yet to come according to the Bible. Amen. Some of you say, I don't believe that. Well, you better believe something. You ain't getting out of this life alive without your hand in Jesus' hand. And I believe his word. People say, you really believe that story of Jonah and that whale swallowing Jonah? I like what the old preacher said. He said, brother, I so believe the word of God in the Bible, it's got to be true because God, if he's the author of it, it has to be right. He said, I'd believe it if the Bible said Jonah ate that whale. Amen. Amen. He said, I'd believe it. Amen. I read a little caption this morning of a pastor. And of course, I don't think he was a real pastor, but it said he gave up on God and became an atheist for a year. And after the year, he decided he's going to still go on being an atheist. I thought, well, brother, I'll feel sorry for you. Because there's a living God, it's obvious he was never living in your heart. Amen? Listen, I had dead religion up to about 25 years old, but when I received Jesus Christ, he came in my heart. He's been there ever since. Don't tell me God is dead, because whose is living in my heart? Amen? He has transformed my life. I'm born again. I'm saved. I know he's in me. I know there's a living God. Amen? And most of you know the same thing, because the same Jesus lives in your heart and in your life. Amen? But we see the river. And the river of the grace of God. It's a picture of how grace works today. That wherever that river goes, whatever that river touches will live. Amen? And there will be trees that'll be for the healing of the nation. And it'll make that salt sea live again. And there will be many fish. And it's a picture that wherever that river goes, there is life. There is abundance, there is healing, there is strength, there is the life of God that flows in that river. And I'm here to say what Paul was teaching us in the Ephesian letter there is that there's a river of grace. There's an unseen river only known to those who put their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, there's a flow of the grace of God. And in the grace of God, you're going to have life and healing and mercy and pardon and abundance. My Lord, hallelujah. I love the Christian life in the grace of the gospel. And I love what flows from the throne of God. You see, Ezekiel's river, it's a picture story of once the cross was a finished work. Now that the cross has happened 2,000 years ago, I'm here to tell you, every source of life flows from the throne of Jesus Christ. Everything God has flows through the sacrifice of His beloved Son on Calvary. Amen. And all God wants of us is to believe that truth, to put our faith in the Son of God, to trust Jesus, to look to Him and to His shed blood on our behalf. Amen. And as that throne brings forth what has been finished upon Calvary's cross, Ezekiel's river is a picture of what that river is going to do in the natural, in the millennial reign. But I believe Paul gave us a little glimpse of what happens spiritually. See, the Bible says this outward man, it's perishing day by day. It's growing old. My God, listen, this body is aging. I'm finding that out myself. Amen? My mid-50s, I'm, you know, a little more aching, a little more creaking, a little more slower to get up. Those knees don't work like they used to. Amen? You know, this outward man is perishing. But guess what? My inward man can be renewed day by day by the grace of God. Amen? You know, that's why you see people that are sometimes in an invalid condition, but you look into their eyes, they're full of life. Amen. Listen, they only have a few more years to put up with that old, wretched body. But one day, I'm telling you, we'll put off the natural, we'll put off the mortal, and we'll put on immortality in Jesus Christ with a brand new glorified body. And I'm here to tell you, whatever this life cheats you out of, God will make it up to you in the resurrection. Amen. Listen, folks, things in this world don't work like they should. Since Adam messed it up in the garden, nothing in this world works like it should. And we have to realize death came into the world because of one man's sin and one man's disobedience. One man told me years ago, he said, well, I don't know why Adam did that. I said, sir, if you were in that garden, you would have done the same, if not worse. Amen. And all of us agree Adam was right. You always say, I don't believe that. Yeah, because you have sinned too. You have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says if we say we have no sin, you just made God a liar. Now you are a sinner. Now you are in trouble. Amen. No way out of this one. Back yourself into a corner. But I'm here to say there's a provision. There's a river. There's the grace of God. I love what Paul told Timothy. He said, Timothy, be thou strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why would he tell him that? Because Paul was telling Timothy, teaching Timothy, a young pastor to be, teach people about the river of God. Teach people about the flow of grace. Teach people about the goodness of God that's available to those that are in the land of the living. Realize that God had provided great things for his children. He provided an abundant life, a hope and a future, and a blessed life in Jesus Christ if they'll believe God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that river, a picture of the grace of God, a picture of the flow of that grace daily. How does that grace work now? What is the grace of God? First of all, the grace of God is the goodness of God extended to you and I. It comes in the form of the Holy Spirit bringing you the power and the strength and the help and the hope of God on a moment-by-moment basis as you trust and lean upon Jesus Christ. Amen? People today, they say, you know, we're Christian, but we just don't see the power of God in our life. We just don't see His hand working in a strong way. But my question to you is this. Are you believing? Are you fighting the good fight of faith to believe what we're preaching to you? Amen. Listen, I know what it is to get pounded on by the powers of hell and darkness. Especially as a minister of the gospel, if Satan can, you know, what does the Bible say? Smite the shepherd, the sheep scatter. That's a principle. You'll see that all the time. Amen. I know what the powers of darkness are. My wife knows what the powers of hell are all about. But you know what? We find ourselves having to fight almost on a daily, weekly basis. We got to keep believing. We got to keep trusting in the finished work of Christ. We got to look to the Savior. We got to lean on Him. We need the grace of God. Amen. And it's a finished work. I need that river to flow in my heart and in my life on a moment-by-moment daily basis. I need His grace. I need His strength. I need Him. I need His help. I need His touch. Amen. And so that river, there's a river this morning. There's a river, spiritually speaking, that flows with everything. And if you'll touch that river and get in that river by faith, everything that river is in that river lives, everything. Death cannot be in that. Well, you say, we'll still die, we'll still grow old and die. God hath made this gospel that this body has to go back to the dust. It's cursed ground because of Adam's fall. But the inward man, the inner you, which is the real you, can still find fullness of life, vitality, the goodness of God, answered prayer, exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So let's look at this a little deeper, just for a few moments, and we'll dismiss you maybe a little early with the help of the Lord here. You see, Ezekiel's river pictures the flow of grace that comes out from the cross. It's a picture of the finished work of Christ that flows and brings to every believer a plenteous redemption. That word plenteous redemption is in the scripture. I believe it's out of the Psalms. Do you know God wants to bring to every one of us individually a plenteous redemption? It's one thing to be redeemed from the condition of sin. It's another thing to see a plenteous redemption where God begins to restore some things in your life. Amen? Glory to God. I say it this way. Jesus went to his homeland, the Bible says in the Gospels. He went there with a pocket full of miracles for his people. He had healing in his wings. He could have cleansed lepers. He could have raised the dead, whatever it was, but they wouldn't believe on him when they went there because, oh, that's Joseph's son. He's the carpenter's son. And it said he could do there no mighty work because of their unbelief and their hardness of heart. You don't think the fight of faith is a real fight, friend? Well, let me ask you, since we've been preaching on the finished work, since we've been preaching God's goodness towards you, have you had a struggle believing that truth? Have you believe the Savior when he has come near? Are you walking close enough with him that you want to be part of him? Part of his body? Part of what's going on? Amen. I'm here to say, you'll fight to believe that every day of your life, and it's a good fight. Listen, the good news is you and I don't have to fight devils. In a sense, we don't have to fight people. We don't even have to fight our circumstances that we don't like. But if we'll stand up in Jesus and believe and trust him and look to him and believe on him, he'll turn the thing around. He'll bring you through. He might bring you out of something to bring you into something better. Amen. We got to believe God. Listen, I remember when I was first saved some 30 years ago, listening to the old saints that had been walked with Christ all of their lives just about. And they would tell of the stories how hard things were in the 30s and in the 40s at times during World War II, during the Great Depression. But they never accused God. They never cursed God. They never got upset. They went to the house of God and they got at that altar and they called on his name. And somehow God would always bring them through. All the time. Used to be when somebody needed healing, the saints would gather and they'd call on God until they felt a breakthrough in the Spirit. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. God would move. And God would deliver and save. How did you come to Jesus? How did God intervene in your life? How did God get your attention? When did he knock at your heart's door? The living God. My Lord. That's why true Christianity is not religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. This thing is alive, and men can't override and govern that in another person's life. Amen? Amen. We preach it this way. You are an autonomous believer before the Lord. When you come to the house of God, our authority over you is to preach the truth, to preach it with power and authority, to let you know you need to live right by the power of God. But when you leave this building, you belong to God. Amen. Last thing I want to be is a spiritual policeman, my Lord. Yeah. I got better things to do than to send half the church to see if you're at the public swimming pool this week, swimming and things you shouldn't be dressed in. You know? Why do I say that? Because I know churches that have done that. Yeah. Same here. Amen. We chuckle, we laugh, but my God, isn't that sad? You think I want to play God in anybody's life? My Lord, I need him myself. Man. Amen. Amen. Don't get me wrong. There needs to be order in the house of God. And if he ain't dressed right, you need to get that right. Amen. But there's other things beyond that. Amen. It's called living by the grace of God. Letting that river flow to your heart and flow into your life on a moment by moment, by a daily basis, by the help and by the strength and by the provision of Christ. Amen. And so now Paul brings this out. And he said for the Ephesian church, he says, you know, Paul was referring, and he was really trying to let them know that there's a full blessing of God available to them as believers. You know, Paul said that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Paul would use language like that in his epistle to the Ephesian church. Amen. You realize when you preach the Bible, it sounds foreign in this world? Even in much of the church today, when you preach the Bible, we got people that have maybe been in the church 10, 15 years probably. I'm not saying so much this church. They don't even know who the prophet Elijah is. They don't even know hardly who Isaiah is. They hardly know who Adam and Eve were. They're so spiritually illiterate. And what I'm saying, if you're new to God and new to the gospel, yeah, you don't know these things. But if you've been in the Lord a few years, I'm telling you what, you need to know the scriptures and who these people are and what God has done in them and with them and through them. Amen. And friend, when you read the Bible, you'll see the good and the bad and the ugly. I mean, God don't hold nothing back. But there's a time where we got to learn of him, learn of the scriptures. And this is what Paul is saying, that God will grant you according to the riches of his glory. Imagine that. If the Apostle Paul was here this morning, what would he be telling the people of Promised Land? That God, we got 2 weeks, new carpet will be up here. Amen. I won't be tripping over this. Amen. You know, but think about this. He would be preaching to you and I that God would grant you according to his riches and glory. Amen. This would be the language Paul would be using for your life. Too many believers living on their own personal goodness, their own strength, their own merit, and you wonder what happens when you all fall apart because you're trusting in self and not the Savior. So Paul comes along and teaches the church they got to depend on Christ, depend on his blood, depend on his mercy, and they need a daily, instant, how can I say, moment by moment flow of the grace of God. But Paul would say here that God, to see the flow of grace into their lives, or as he said in Ephesians chapter 1, the glory of his grace, number one, asks that that church be strengthened with might by his Spirit in their inner man. Man, do you know what I see in 2014, about to be 2000? You know what you need? You know what I need? I need to be strengthened with might in my inner man as I take on this next year. I need Christ to be the strength of my heart. I need him to be my heart and to be my life. I need to have that confession with Paul that to live is Christ and even to die is gain. Amen. Hallelujah. To say with Paul, I'm crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not me that's living. It's Christ that's living in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me and gave himself for me. Amen. We got to learn these things. But this is what Paul was asking the Ephesian church. He was asking God, that God would grant them, that they would be strengthened with might, with the power of Christ in their inner man. Amen. Because there will be temptations. There will be powers of hell. There will be adverse circumstances. There will be things that are going to come to us this year, not only on a national basis, but on a personal level too. And I'm going to need the power of God within my heart to be able to make it through. It's not God's will that every time pressure comes, we fall apart, or we kick the dust, or we kick the dog, or we kick somebody, and we blame God for all of our trouble. You don't think that happens? Well, let's follow you around for a year and let things come your way. You get angry. Too many people angry in the body of Christ. And that anger goes right to God. Just like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt's bondage through that wilderness, God was trying to get them, wean them off of trusting what Egypt could provide, and God was trying to teach them. exceeding abundantly above. Amen. Now the angels are singing. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's a good song, brother. You should have played it. I'm just kidding. They were coming through that wilderness, and God was trying to wean them off of dependence on what I can do, my strength, my righteousness. And God was trying to get them to trust in His provision. And friend, that transition never goes easy in your life, and it never goes easy in my life. And every so often, I don't care how far down the road we get in this gospel, God will allow a little trouble, a little problem, a little circumstance to come and kind of touch us a little bit. And God is looking for our reaction. Amen. I have found the older I get, you know, it's a true thing. You're born, they put diapers on you. You get old, and you'll go out of this world with a diaper on you. See, what are you talking about, Pastor? They say you revert back. You know, things don't work like they used to, so you got to do what you got to do. But, you know, spiritually, that happens the same way. You know, we get saved. We believe God for everything. Boy, we pray in our groceries. We pray in a new job. We pray in that car. We pray in healing and health. We used to believe God. But as time went on, you know what happens? You stop believing God. Trouble comes. You start getting angry with God because you think you've come to this point now where you shouldn't have these afflictions anymore. That if you're rooted in Christ and you're loving the Lord, that everything's just going to be smooth sailing for now into your eternity, and you're just going to go off into the sunset, and boy, it's just going to be life is a bowl of cherries. No, it's not. Amen. I'm here to say you need that river of grace flowing in your heart on a moment-by-moment daily basis, because there are going to be things that God will allow in your or my life, and some of them you will not understand why. But God is always good and can never do you and I wrong. And I want you to know, no matter how tragic, no matter how hard, God will bring good out of it in time. And one day when we get the glory, we'll understand. You say, well, I don't know, that's not fair. There's things I went through. Do you ever read your Bible and read about the thousands and the millions of saints in the book of Revelation that will be beheaded for their testimony of Jesus Christ? What about that? Just because you and I believe doesn't shelter us from affliction. In fact, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Well, how does this message fit in then, Pastor? I'm here to say that when the trouble comes, believe God and He'll bring you through it, whether it's good or bad or whatever. God's going to get you through the thing, get you to the other side. The worst thing that could happen, God call you home, and guess what? He'll make up to you everything this life cheated you out of in the resurrection of life. But I'm also here to say that while we're here, we're to believe God for great things. We're to look to Him for great things, because my children need to see Dad believing God, see Mom believing God, and seeing what God's going to do for them. Because as they start believing God, the next generation has to carry the message. Amen. Hallelujah. So Paul said that God will grant you that you be strengthened in your inner man with might. Think about that. With might. Why? So when the trouble comes, you don't fall apart. When the hardships come, you can believe God and see His grace bring you through. Amen. And then he said in our text this morning that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Jesus, again Christ. We talk about God, we talk about our denominations, we talk about how good the Christmas program is, we talk about all this, all the good outreaches and everything, all the good programs the church may have. None of that will save you. Paul said that God will grant you that Christ dwell in your heart by faith. You see, when the pressure comes, it's the old toothpaste tube. When you squeeze it, you see what's inside. I believe, God, that when I'm squeezed, Christ is there. That Christ is there. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I'm not there fully like I need to be at times. Because I can still be a little whiny, a little sarcastic, a little like things going my way. But don't look at me with your halos. Because I think a lot of you are the same way. Amen. I'm still on that potter's wheel, but I'm coming through. Amen. God will get me to where he needs to be eventually. You know, the beauty of sanctification, it's a lifelong process. And if you mess up, and if you're aged, and you don't come through the trial too good, he still loves you. He'll still work in you. My mother, on her deathbed, said this in front of Liz and I. On her deathbed, about a week from passing on because of the lymphoma cancer she had here, she said, God is still convicting me of sin in my heart. I still feel the conviction of sin. Think about that. You would think, give a dying woman some space, some mercy. But God was still dealing with that heart. You know, friend, let me share this. I know we're sidetracking a little bit here, but I believe in the Holy Spirit is ministering our hearts today. We got to understand, the Bible says that where the tree falls, there it lies. What Solomon was talking about in that scripture, the way we go into eternity, that condition of heart is the same condition we'll stand before him and give an account. Amen. And it tells me that God was preparing her to stand before him and that she had some time to clean up some heart things. Amen. Not everybody gets that chance, but she had that chance. Think about that. That Christ dwell in your hearts by faith. And then he goes on that you would know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. You see, the flow of this river brings to you and I the love of God, for the love of God is shed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But not just to know of that love, to know through experience and my own personal need to know his love for me. And he proved that love by hanging on the cross in my place to die for my sin, that I could live and stand before God clean and not as a sinner. Amen. That you would know his love, the grace of God, that river brings to you and I his love. His goodness, his mercy. Hallelujah. And then Paul would close this out. And he would say that you and I be able to be, that we'd comprehend the width, the height, the depth. In other words, to have a spiritual understanding, to have a discernment, to understand what's going on, to have a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. You see, as a true Christian, we know what's going on in this world. As a true Christian, I understand the events of life. As a Christian, there may be things that come my way that I don't fully understand, but in Christ, there will be a comprehension that I know he is near. I know he'll walk me through. Amen? That I can know kind of what's going on in the Spirit because Christ is in me. Amen? Well, most people fall apart because they don't have hope. They feel in the midst of their tragedy, their hardship, there's like, where's my hope? Where's my hope? Your hope is in Jesus. Your hope is the Word of God. Your hope is that God loves you in spite of what's going on in your life. And I say this carefully, and I say this with love, but some of what goes on in our life is self-inflicted. Some of what goes on in our life is self-inflicted, either because of direct sin or our lack of faith. Amen. But even with that, it's not word of faith doctrine that believe, 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 and if I believe right, I'm just going to have a pristine life. No. Oh, no. But no matter what life brings my way, as Paul said in Romans 8, that I would know his love, that I would have the victory of Christ, that he would bring me through, that whether it be tribulation, persecution, problems, trouble, my Lord, that God is going to bring me through anything and everything. And that I will find the victory on the other side of the trouble. Amen? Amen. Praise you, Jesus. And then Paul finishes. That we be filled with all the fullness of God. That you and I, in other words, would have all that for which Christ died to give us. And then he would go on to him and say, and now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. What that really means, my friend, is that today, having all grace, the believer is to keep asking and believing God for the great, for the impossible, for the difficult, to believe God for anything that they may feel they need in their life. Amen? Listen, as we close this out, I want you to understand, I want you to believe God this year for exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think in this life. Watch what God will do for you in 2015 if you'll just believe Him as never before by simple faith in the crucified. My Lord, hallelujah. Believe Him for the things you haven't seen. And some of you are going, but I believe God for a long time. Well, you got one choice. Keep believing. Amen. You don't have options, my friend. Believe Him for the exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Liz and I, that's a little thing between us lately here. We're believing God for the exceeding abundantly above for our church, for the work of God, for our personal life, for our business life, for our children, for our sons, for our grandchildren. Amen. We're believing God. And we're fighting that fight of faith. And friend, don't get me wrong. There's days it's not easy. It is a fight. But there's no place to go. There's only one place for you to go, and that is into the arms of the crucified. Into the arms of Jesus. I want you to believe God this year as never before. Because God, according to Paul, according to Ezekiel's river, that river is flowing. Spiritually speaking, it'll bring the abundance, it'll bring increase, it'll bring everything you need, it'll bring healing to your life, your heart, it'll give you a sound mind, it'll give you the power of God, it'll give you the mercy, the forgiveness of sin, it'll give you everything for which Christ died to provide for us. Amen. Do you need healing? Ask Him for healing. You need provision? Ask Him for provision. Do you need something greater than what you're seeing now? Ask Him for something greater. And you know what? Ask God for the impossible. The other night we were testifying and we were sharing about believing God for impossible things, you know, the reaction there was like, oh yeah, really? I guess, you know, in talking to Elizabeth about it, you know, it's just in that circle that they have come through. They've never been taught to believe God for greater things. They just have a providential trust in the sovereignty of God that, you know, que sera, what'll be, it's just going to be, you know. Maybe I'm a little off on that. I don't think so too far. But I'm here to say, when you don't teach your people to believe God for greater things, they're not going to see greater things. We have to believe the Lord. We have to call on Him. We have to believe Him for the exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And you know, God will move heaven. God will move heaven and earth to get to His child and to let you see the exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. Hallelujah. Can we stand this morning? I'm going to ask some of the eldership, Bob and Linda, if you'd come up. Claude, Sister Sharon, if you'd come up. Roger and Joan, Elizabeth, honey. Ask the musicians to come up, please. As we sing a song, we're going to open this altar up this morning. If you want a year of an abundance in Jesus Christ, and let Him dictate what that abundance will be, then I'm going to ask you to believe God this morning and come and join hands with one of the elders here. Come to this altar and take a number in Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm going to believe You this year as I've never believed You before. I want to see things that have not even entered into my heart of the good things You have prepared for me because I love You, Lord. If that's you and if you're feeling that tug at your heart, if you want to believe God this year for greater things you've ever seen, then let's come to this altar and just take a moment or two and let's believe Him. Let's join hands in faith and ask God to turn around that captivity. Ask God to turn that situation around. It could be salvation for loved ones. It could be a physical healing. It could be divine provision. It could be just vision, knowing what to do with your life, your future. God knows your future from the end. Let's come to this altar as we sing a song. We'll just take a few moments and we'll call on His name. And let's believe Him this morning for exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. Let's come. Let's come, Sister Jackie. Let's believe the Lord. Come on up. Come on up. Let's believe today. Let's trust Him today. Let's come up. Let's come. Let's believe the Lord this year as never before. He can heal your heart. He can heal your broken heart. He can heal your situation. He can heal you. He can touch you. He loves you. Let's just come. Let's just come.
I will rejoice.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Because
if you need prayer this morning,
I will rejoice.
Hallelujah. Let's believe Him. Let's look to Him today. Let's look to Him today. Let's believe on Him today.